listeners, welcome to another podcast episode of The Powerful Patient. I'm Mike, and I'm so glad to be with you as the host today, and I have a wonderful guest that we'll talk to in just a minute. Joyce, it's good to hear your voice on this podcast. I'm glad you're with us today.
Thank you, Mike. And Mike is a longtime advocate for kidney cancer in particular, but I should tell you that he also goes to AACR meetings and other meetings where he meets other advocates, and so he has introduced today's guest to us as a wonderful person that we can have a good chat with. And I'd like you also to meet our good friend Robin Martinez. Robin is the chief moderator for the smartpatients.com. Hi, Robin.
Hi, Joyce. It's great to be here.
Thanks.
I guess we should get the show on the road, Mike.
Well, thank you very much, Robin. You know, I'm impressed to be with these two ladies. Both of them have a wealth of experience. And I met somebody during the Disparities Conference with the American Association for Cancer Research back in November in New Orleans that truly impressed me. And even though in our podcast library we have a podcast that Joyce and I did a number of years ago on a Lynch syndrome situation, we've got somebody that that can give us a little bit more light on Lynch syndrome, perhaps, if we get to it. But this lady is a three-time cancer survivor in the process of writing a book entitled In Spite of It All. It's going to capture the story of her life, explain why she's a strong believer in genetic testing and patient advocacy, and she brings a colorectal cancer patient viewpoint to the research and advocacy process. And so with that, I am pleased to introduce Winora Johnson. Hi, Winora.
Hi. In fact, I want to say hi to Joyce and Robin, Mike, all of you all for inviting me to the podcast series. I'm really looking forward to talking to you about my journey, the knowledge that has empowered me about my health. And in spite of it all, I'm still here.
Well, that's great. And we might touch on your book a little bit, and we probably want you to, when you get that book rolled out, let us know, and we'll put something on the blog and maybe even talk to you again. You knew you were in the fight of your life when you discovered that you had colorectal cancer. So why don't you tell us what happened back in 2011 on that?
Well, it was actually in 2011, and I was kind of happy on a couple of accounts. One being I had just finished my military career. I served 8 years in the Navy as a Navy reservist. I was doing my annual physical checkups that I always do, and at the age of 45, my doctor said, "Well, Winora, you're too young to do a colonoscopy, but I'd like for you to do this FIT test." And a FIT test is short for your fecal, a fecal swab test, basically. And I told him, okay, I'll do it. And for 2 weeks, I set it to the side, and I just kind of looked at it until I got another call from my doctor who said, Winora, why don't you just do it, okay? So I did it, and I got a call back from him that stated that they were a little concerned because they thought they saw small traces of blood from the testing results. And I said, okay. And we followed up immediately with a colonoscopy. And after having a colonoscopy with my specialist, she could not get through to reach where she suspected a tumor might be. So she said, now it looks like we might have to do a small surgery. So I was like, okay, I'll do the small surgery. And after doing the surgery, I literally woke up. It kind of reminded me of one of those cancer commercials where I was told, by the way, you have cancer and you've probably had it for 15 years. And I was just like, wow, how did that happen? How did I allow myself or my body to get to a point where I ignored signs or symptoms that I had colon cancer? And it was this journey of knowledge and understanding that helped me get to where I am so that others won't have to go through the same rigorous disappointments of, you know, of knowing.
Yeah, thank you. I just wanted to follow up on the fit test a little bit, because I know that people often think, oh, this, there are so many jokes about proctologists that, you know, they're without number. And so nobody wants to go through the discomfort of that. And so I wanted just to explain a little bit what this fit test involves. This is, my doctor handed me two little cardboard thingies and said, take them home and read the instructions and put them in a regular envelope, put a stamp on it and send it back to me. And it was, you go to the bathroom and then you put the sample, it's basically a smear of your feces that you put on this little bit of cardboard, you stick it in a regular envelope and send it back. Is that the one, the test you're talking about?
That's the same test that I took as well.
Okay, so it's really easy, and I just want to encourage everybody, when their doctor suggests this, don't screw up your nose at it, because it'll only take you 5 minutes, and it could, as you said, save your life.
Literally, yes, it did, and I'm a strong component of that. I definitely encourage that if a doctor does say, hey, let's do a fit test, and even now they've gotten a little bit more proactive with it. You see commercials like for Cologuard that you can actually do it at home and submit the test. So some testing is better than nothing, because the thing about colon cancer is that you have no symptoms really until you're in late stage of this particular disease. And for me, you know, had I known that, I would have been tested way sooner.
That's right. And it's not that you ignored symptoms. This stuff is sneaky. It as you say, you probably had it for 15 years, because it starts with just a single cell, and it grows very slowly, and it doesn't really cause you any problems until it gets to a late stage. And as you know, you don't want to get to that late stage. So somehow we've got to find this thing along that path before it gets dangerous.
I was wondering, Wenora, you said something about having ignored symptoms. Did you have any early symptoms that if you had known what the symptoms were, you would have noticed?
You know what? In all honesty, when I look back, the one symptom that I did have, and believe it or not, it was just using the bathroom on a regular basis. As I look back, I go, you know, I didn't have regular bowel movements. For me, going 2 or 3 days at a time was just something that I've always had in my body for years that I'd gotten used to. So for me, that probably was a number one symptom, the fact that I wasn't using the bathroom on a regular basis. But I never brought that up to my doctor. I just assumed, you know, that's part of my regular bodily habits. But not going to the bathroom on a regular daily basis allows for all that bacteria, those bad cells, and all that stuff to generate in that and sit in that colon. And thus, 15 years later, you have a late-stage colon diagnosis.
That's very interesting. Now, the screening tests are described in a little bit more detail on the fightcolorectalcancer.org website, as well as a lot of good information. Why don't you tell us how you got involved with Fight Colorectal Cancer a little bit, Wenora?
Well, I'd like to continue to say that knowledge is power. So through this journey, I wanted to continue to give myself more knowledge on how I contracted this disease, or what could I have done differently, and what can I do for others who may possibly be going through something similar. So I found fight colorectal cancer in 2014, and immediately the first thing that I did was just shared my story. Like, I went through this. And from there, advocacy was born. I joined what they had at this time called RATS. We love to be called RATS. It's actually an acronym that stands for Research Advocate Training Support. And currently now I've worked my way up to be a clinical trials curator, since the focus is on better treatment while undergoing late stage cancer treatment. And one of the things that I really had to learn first and take the patient out of it temporarily is to understand the policy side of it. why isn't something being done more so for patients who are suffering from disease? Why aren't people finding out sooner, or what can be done? And it boiled down really to understanding policy. So I campaigned, went up on the hill and talked with my legislative support to help them to see that, you know what, people are being diagnosed with this disease at an early stage. You could do something to help us lower the age of being for colonoscopies. And from there, it really just blossomed to help me understand that policy is where it kind of begins, and there researching and getting on boards with places like CAP, which is the College of American Pathologists, and being a patient advocate's voice for helping them understand from a patient's view, this is what works for us and this is what doesn't work.
Well, let's talk about Lynch syndrome diagnosis. What what led you to have the genetic test that made you realize that you were a Lynch syndrome patient?
Well, for me, I'd be remiss if I did not say that I had a really great healthcare team. They were behind me 100%, encouraged me to attach myself to groups that are, you know, involved in colorectal cancer, and that's what I did. And then they took care of me in that sense and helped me really further understand this disease. So what happened in 2016, my oncologist suspected that I was Lynch syndrome. She actually suspected back in 2014 when we started talking about my history further. I told her that, you know, by the way, I think my grandfather passed away from a cancer. I'm not sure what kind. My mother had passed away from a glioblastoma cancer, and she suspected. She said, I really think you're Lynch syndrome, but let's get you tested. And she went further out on the limb and said, hey, I'll contact the insurance company. I'll do all the legwork for you so you don't have to worry about costs associated with it or anything. And I was like, okay, what can I go wrong? It took 2 years of her badgering me to finally commit to it. And when the report comes back, I was shocked. I was Lynch syndrome. But by that time, in the meantime, my brother was diagnosed with late-stage colorectal cancer. He was diagnosed with stage 3C. And then before my aunt passed away, she had told me that year in 2016, oh, by the way, your grandfather actually passed away from colorectal cancer at the age of 38. So immediately, there was an immediate open history, and I'm going, wow. So much knowledge that could have helped me with getting an earlier diagnosis and being treated for polyps instead of having 6 inches of my colon removed and treated for, you know, with chemotherapy.
You know, this is a very interesting thing that happens in families. The big C was not discussed very much before 1960s or something like that. I think it was the child actress, what was her name, who was the U.S. delegate to the United Nations, had breast cancer, and she first talked about breast cancer. And this was back in the days when you couldn't say the word thigh on television. So, you know, things about the bathroom stuff just simply weren't talked about. But it really does pay off to quiz your family members. And there's probably one who's more gossipy than others. That's a good person to ask. That would be able to tell you things like your grandfather died of colorectal cancer. And they'll probably use a different word, but that's all right. Finding these risk factors in your family is your easy way to get the information. And then the DNA test gives you the scientific answer to that question. But what are your risk factors? And understanding those, it can go a very long way toward customizing your medical care in a way that's going to keep you healthy longer.
Absolutely. I definitely agree with that, Joyce.
That's a very good point, Joyce and Lenora. And most of the colorectal cancer cases still occur in people that are 50 years of age or older, but about 4% of the cases are in people that's younger than that. African Americans, their incident rate is as high as 61 per 100,000. So that's a real group of people that that needs to be very vigilant on these signs and stuff. The American Cancer Society, as well as Fight Colorectal Cancer, has gotten the screening down from 50 years to start their screenings down to 45. So I'm going to let you get back to it, but colon cancer is the number three ranking cancer in the United States, and it has about 50,000 deaths per year. So it's quite a serious situation. Okay, ladies, I'll turn it back to you. Joyce?
Well, I'll say one thing, and I know Robin was poised to say something too, so I'll turn the mic over to her in a moment. But whenever you have a relative who died of cancer before age 50, there is a suspicion, and it's only a suspicion, but it's worth following up. The suspicion is that there may be something genetic going on. And so getting these genetic tests becomes more important in families where someone died of cancer under the age of 50. You mentioned that your grandfather died at 38, and that's a signal that there may well be something genetic going on. Robin?
Yeah, I was going to say, have the rest of your family, Lenora, have they been tested for Lynch syndrome? Because I know there's a lot of resistance among family members, even though they know Lynch syndrome or BRCA or something genetic is in their family. There's a lot of resistance to getting tested, as though not being tested will make it less real.
Yes. Robin, you bring up a very valid and good point. In fact, my oldest daughter, who is, you know, well over 30, when I tried to convince her to get tested, she was like, I don't even want to hear it. So sometimes the hardest people to convince can be the closest ones that you love, which are, you know, sometimes your own family members and your children. And I what I try to remind them of is that you don't want to go through what your mom went through unnecessarily. So I'm hoping that at some point I'll get through, and all I can do is just keep encouraging them, hey, get tested. And if nothing else, even if they don't get tested for Lynch syndrome, at least take FIT tests on a regular basis so that any forms of cancer that may develop along those lines could be caught early enough so that they don't have to suffer like I did as well.
You're absolutely right, and especially when the test is simple, inexpensive and non-invasive, like the FIT test that we talked about, the fecal smear test. That's something that you really ought to incorporate into your healthcare management. I mean, young people go for a run or, you know, eat this and that or don't eat this and that in order to maintain their health. But what they forget about is that there are these sneaky things that you never anticipated that could sneak up on you and really do a job on you.
Right. Now, if I could just back up just a tiny bit. Now, as I go back, and we talked a little bit about my genetic testing, that genetic test also revealed something else, too, that was very important. It stated that I had an 80% chance of having endometrial cancer within the next 5 years. And I was like, wow. When I told my oncologist my concern about this, she says, well, Lenora, that's why we did this test, because now you have an opportunity to do some preventive maintenance so that you don't have that issue that arises 5 years from 5 years from now. So that's why I opted to have a complete full hysterectomy. But upon biopsy, endometrial cancer had already started. So for
great,
me, that was another wake-up call that this testing is so vital and important.
That's right. So you had an opportunity to nip that in the bud, so to speak, to get those cells out of your body before they became a problem to you.
And I want to speak up for another thing. Once you reach the age of 50, if you haven't been screened for colorectal cancer, I would almost advocate to go ahead and take the liquid and go see your doctor and schedule a colonoscopy, because if they find polyps in there, they don't always show up on these other tests, but if they find polyps in there that are precancerous and they can remove them, that forestalls a lot of situations in the future. I had a friend not too long ago that had a colonoscopy done, and they found something that was in one of the bins of his colon, and the doctor said, if you hadn't had it checked out this way, you would have probably developed cancer within 2 to 3 years, and we wouldn't have known about it until you started bleeding or had some other kind of test run. So it's very important for these procedures to be done. You may not like them. You may not want to drink the stuff sometimes, but it's certainly worth it in the long run.
Absolutely. So we're just going to say that the prep, he's alluding to the prep for this test. And, you know, you can hear in his voice the embarrassment about things having to do with the bathroom. And we all have a streak of that. Our mothers told us not to talk about it, but that's all right. We do definitely need to talk about it with our doctors, and we definitely need to talk about it here. The prep for this colonoscopy that he was talking about, you have to clean out your bowel so that the doctor can see the walls of the bowel, which he couldn't see if there was stuff in there. So they make you drink this stuff that cleans out your bowel. It's a lot better now than it used to be. The first time I did this, it was 2-3 days of discomfort. But now the stuff that you drink tastes better and works more rapidly and is actually not that unpleasant. So, and it's definitely worth the journey.
Yeah, a couple of years ago when I had one, it was, you know, they went through the procedure and everything. I went in, laid down on the table, and the next thing I knew, I was in recovery, and he said, well, we're done. You can go home. So it's, you know, it's almost just a non-event.
Well, you know what, I agree. You know, I liken this the colonoscopy test to just being life saving, because, you know, like you said, you don't realize that importance of them being able to right there on the spot pull out a polyp that can turn into cancer during that span of 5 to 10 years. The ability to catch it beforehand, like you said, is just so worth it. So I encourage people, get your colonoscopy, get it done. It's not as bad as it seems. So I definitely encourage people to do that.
Right. Now, the colonoscopy itself is painless, and typically it's done under twilight sedation, so you don't feel anything, you don't have any memory of it. Is really the worst part, and I'd like to say the prep is getting easier all the time. The researchers do realize how awful the prep can seem to people who aren't used to sitting on the toilet for a long period of time. And so they're trying to make it easier and easier, and they are succeeding. So it's less rough every time you do it.
So if I could revert back to Mike, too, just to let Mike know that, you know, since I've become, more knowledgeable, just understanding things about, you know, there was a talk a little bit about biomarkers. Taking a test such as a FIT test, a urine test, or a tissue test, too, those are all biomarkers that can help guide and treat your next step to cancer, if it's the next step, like it was for me. I kind of liken it to, for example, all of us get in our car, and sometimes if we're traveling somewhere and we put on Google Maps for directions, and Google Maps tell us to get to our destination safely without any issues. Well, that's kind of like how biomarkers and these testings, the new tests that they have out to help us get that personalized cancer treatment instead of always chemotherapy.
That's so good. And there are a lot of clinical trials if you you're interested, there are all kinds of clinical trials for the even for the preps that they're using in these things. I looked on the clinicaltrials.gov while ago for colorectal test, and there are a bunch of them, and some of them just involve the different tests for the prep that they're using. You know, the localized five-year survival rate for colorectal is 90%, but once it starts to spread, regional is 71%, and distant drops down to 14%. So that's one of the reasons why it is so important to be scanned and to be monitored by some sort of test.
Totally agree with you. In fact, as a survivor out now from colorectal cancer, 8 years out now, I call it my ologist list. I still go to the oncologist. I go to my dermatologist. I go to my gynecologist, all because colon cancer is known to have those associated risk as well. And for me, it's every 6 months. It's not like a year or two out for some individuals, but because I am a Lynch syndrome patient, I have to monitor my own care. And for me, that's every 6 months of getting tested, getting fit test again, getting the CA, or once a year having a colonoscopy. So it's a little bit more serious if you are a Lynch syndrome patient because of that mutated gene associated with it.
What your general practitioner will do, your family doctor, is that they have a list of these are the most common things that occur in the general population. And therefore, our evidence has shown that after age 50 or age 45, the risk goes up in the general population. So they're working off population statistics. And it's like the old saw, we can tell you what's going to happen to 100 people, but we can't tell you what's going to happen to you. And by looking at all these biomarkers, these specific measurements of you, they can tell whether your risk is lower or higher than the general population. We're trying to hone in on how to protect you as an individual. And so as Winora shared with us, she has had the DNA test that said that she carries the gene for the Lynch syndrome. So that tells the doctors what particular things we need to be more vigilant about because they're more likely to occur in her. And each one of us has some specific set of risk factors, and the only way we can find out what those risk factors are is to work with our doctors and figure them out.
Absolutely.
That's good,
Very
Joyce.
Very good point.
And we're right at the edge of time on this. So, Robin, have you got any final thoughts or questions for Winora? And then I'll ask Joyce if she's got anything, and we'll let Winora sum up.
Actually, I'd like to put in a pitch for smartpatients.com. If you have any questions about colon cancer or Lynch syndrome or any other kind of cancer, come and sign up for our website, smartpatients.com, and you can find a group of knowledgeable patients dealing with those same issues, and they can help guide you through the labyrinths of care and testing and everything else associated with it.
Great. Thanks, Robin. And Smart Patients is very helpful to people with many different kinds of health challenges. So browse around in there. And we hope that with a little bit of early warning and preventive maintenance that you won't get into a situation where you have metastatic cancer. The metastatic part is the part that will kill you. And so we have to find it early and take that preventive maintenance and hopefully keep you perfectly well for a very long time. Winora,
thank you so much,
Robin, for helping us do that.
Oh, well, thank you very much, too. And I'd like to add, I'd like to thank fightcrc.org a lot for helping me through and transitioning through my journey as a patient and now as a patient advocate. I'd like to remind others and myself that broken crayons still color. So no matter how you may feel inside, you can still survive, and you never know how strong you are until strong is the only choice that you have. So I again thank you both for, you know, asking me those questions that are sometimes tough for individuals to ask. And Mike, Joyce, and Robin, I hope to maybe one day have a chance to talk with you again and share even more about my my journey, especially when it comes to my book, In Spite of It All.
Thank you. We look forward to reading your book.
We would definitely love to do that, Winora, and we thank you for being here. In spite of it all, you are a super individual, and we appreciate your work in advocacy. And, folks, that's going to do it for this edition of The Powerful Patient. We invite you to check in our podcast library. We have about 200 podcasts available in addition to this one that we'll add. And we look forward to hearing and being with you again soon. Thank you for being a powerful patient.